Good morning, everyone. Let us open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this glorious day that you have made. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here to give us your revelation of your truth that is needed for us to live our lives, Lord. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. I got to share with a couple people in the lobby as I came in. I've already got to share for the last hour before I got here. I have what I call my Starbucks ministry. And I just go in and I sit down and I go, God, if you got someone for me, just bring them and have them come in and sit down beside me. And it happens periodically. And so I got to have fun this morning already sharing some about God with some random person that just came in and sat down and was very open to hear what God would have me share with them. So I've already got to share once. And so I get to have double fun today. I get to share and then share again. And for those of you who know me, it just excites me when I get a chance to do that. I think someone when I shared was, I can tell you're excited. I can't help but get excited when God gives me these opportunities to share. Well, it's been 3 weeks since I was last year sharing on love. This is what would be the 9th different teaching that God has led me to share with you on love. And I know that there are at least 2 more to follow. Whether it's 2 or 3, but I know there's at least 2 more. And so since we've had a little bit of gap, I'm going to go back and just review very briefly. And the first thing that we're trying to keep in front of us every week is really what God gave me as the title of this. In fact, I started thinking for those that go online and listen to these, I thought they may think they're hearing the same teaching over and over again, thinking, well, I've already heard this one. Because basically each week I start with this same thing. And that is the title that God gave me for this series, and that is Take Your Next Step in Love. And really what God showed me in the spirit behind that title, because it wasn't something that I created, it was like, well, call it this. And it's the very fact that God is constantly working his character into us. And as he works love into us, we're all at different places, at different times, in each area that God would work into us. And specifically in love, what he was showing me was that, and it's the same way with everything, whether he's working joy into you, peace into you, more faith into you, whatever it is, you're really only responsible to walk in what he's revealed to you to that point in time. Okay? But then he wants more for you. One of the teachings was he wants us to increase and abound in love. So he doesn't want you to stay where you're at. So he will be constantly revealing, if you so desire, and if you're listening to his voice and his spirit's leading, he's going to show you more and more because he wants to work more of himself into you. But if we are to walk in love, specifically that's what we're talking about now, as he gives us new revelation, we actually, until it's become part of who we are, part of our character, we actually have to stop and take a pause and go, okay, this next thing I'm going to do, how do I do it based on this new revelation that he's given me? How do I walk out what he's now shown me? Because before that, you didn't know about it, so you just walked in the level that you knew. But now when he shows you something else, you've got something else to consider as you're walking in it. And as we do that over and over again, then it becomes part of our character, and we'll just be walking at this new level, and then he'll show us more. So it's an ever increasing more and more. But we do have to take time and pause and go, oh, God has shown me this. Now, what does that mean as I walk this out now? And I can tell you, I shared with someone else recently, I think sometimes people can get the idea that the person up here is speaking at them or to you, whatever. And I was talking to someone from the church, and I go, you have to understand that what I'm sharing with you is what God has been sharing with me. So as I'm saying it, I'm talking as much to me as I am to you. Because as he's been leading me through this, I have had all sorts of, you can call these 2 different things, tests, or you can call them opportunities, okay? Because they really are, when they're from God, they're opportunities then to walk out what he's revealed to you. And he's given me so many of them in love in the last 6 months. I've shared with you just a little capsule of a few of them that he's having me share. But it's just been like every day. You have a chance to do this or this. And you're going to do it this way or this way. And can I tell you, I pass most of them. Every once in a while, I'll get done with one. I go, well, I could have done that one a little bit better. Because once again, it's still some of it's new to me. I think I even shared that at the beginning when I started sharing that it was almost Pastor Bill talking me into sharing this series with you. I mean, he didn't have to force it upon me, but I was literally telling him, I'm going, you don't understand. God has given this for me and I need to get this before I share it with you. And he goes, no, you don't. You don't have to get it first. And really what God showed me was, if you wait till you get it, you'll never share it. And in other words, we're all at a certain point. You got to share it now. Okay, so I'll take Pastor Bill's word for it as the pastor of the church. He said, y'all need it too. So so I'm sharing it. But I'm sharing it as much for me and to me as I am to you. That can sound a little bit selfish, and that's literally the main topic of what we're talking about today. Not to be that. It's going to be one of the main things we go to. So I did want to just touch briefly, because God was impressing upon me this week something that I shared earlier, and it's something that I think can be very easy to fall into in many different areas of our life, and that is to fall into walking out our lives or seeing things the way that the world does, because we live in it. It's all around us, and by the world, we mean those who do not yet know him as Lord and Savior. And I always like to put the word yet in there. That's just the way God has me say it whenever I say it. They just don't know him yet. Because my prayer is that they do. So you don't want to eliminate them by your words right from the beginning. So, but it's so easy. And I say it's easy. Maybe it isn't easy for you. It's easy for me to fall into just seeing things and walking out things the way the world does, because everyone's doing it that way. And what we can't be caught doing is accepting their definition for what something means and how things are to be lived. So specifically, and this is something I shared probably a couple months ago now, but I just want to take 1 minute to go back over it so we don't get caught in this. You see, the world looks at love, and I looked up a definition, and it says this: the world would call love an intense feeling of deep affection or a great interest or pleasure in something. They would call that love. And so to express that in action or in a verb, it would literally mean to feel a deep affection for or to like or to enjoy something very much. Oh, I love that. Doing that very much, or I have great affection for that person. But something that was really interesting when I was reading these definitions was it would use the word, they have a disposition to do this. And I started thinking about the word disposition and what that actually means. And then I started thinking about God. And let me give you a definition of disposition, and you'll see where God had me going with this. And think about if God only loved when he had the disposition to do so. Okay? Disposition means the prevailing tendency, the mood, or the inclination. Disposition would be your temperamental makeup, or in other words, the tendency or of something to act in a certain way under a given set of circumstances. So just think about God, and he looks down and sees the world acting the way they do. Isn't it good to know that he doesn't respond out of something other than love just because, well, I don't feel like it today? You know, if God reacted to us based on everything he saw, the set of situations or circumstances, or how he felt on any given day, we'd all be toast by now, is the way I would put it. And see, that's the same way we have to look at this. We cannot look at it like the world, well, today I feel like, loving someone. It's not based on a feeling. In fact, we have to look, what does the Word of God say that love is? And the actual word, there are several words used to convey love, but the one mainly we're talking about here is the love of God, being the Greek word agape, as it's used in the New Testament. And one way to look at agape love is to, it's a self-sacrificing love, okay? And it's a love that's not based on how you feel. It's not about feelings. It's not about emotions. It's not about experience. It's all linked to the character of God and God's character being worked into you, which is one of the things we've talked about here on and on. It's not something that's sentimental. It is literally a self-sacrificing love that really comes down to the will. You actually have to desire God's desires to be able to walk out and in the love that God has put in you. It's a conscious choice. We can either walk in love or we cannot walk in love. Now, the more we know of His love, the more we can walk in it. So that's part of what God is having me do, share here over this period of time, is sharing all these various, once again, I use a different word, I think, each time, aspect, area, facet, whatever of love that God has had me break these down into. But the key is to know that they all work together. They're all love. If you leave any one part out, you're really not walking in love. And today, I'm going to pick up right where we left off last week, or 3 weeks ago. And I don't know how many of you remember the last thing that I went to. It was the fact that the Bible makes it very clear that if you want to see all about love, the best place to go in your Bible is to go look at the cross. Because at the cross, and as Jesus is going to the cross, you will see all of the things that we've talked about already and those that we're going to continue to talk about. I haven't really stressed it to a great point to this point in time other than mentioning that. Say, for example, we talked about a God who is long-suffering, okay, which can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4. God suffers long and is kind, which would be the loving kindness. So think about it. God had, how long was it ballpark? Let's see if I can, I've got a rough estimate. Randy can probably tell you even more accurately than I can. But I would say roughly it had been over 4,000 years at least since God had created man before Jesus came to earth. Ballpark, a little over 4,000 years. It had been roughly a little over 2,400 years since the flood. And there had been a little bit of sin going on during that time. Just read the Word of God. You can see it. It's all detailed. And yet, He was long-suffering and long-suffering and long-suffering. And then what did He do at the end of this 4,000 years or 2,400 years since the flood? It was the greatest act of love ever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So He reacted by love, okay? And by love in such a way that is the greatest example of self-sacrificing love that you'll ever want to find. Because it says He loved us enough to give His only begotten Son. And then on Jesus' part, it was self-sacrificing because as we read in His Word, He was praying, if there's any way around this, Father, please give me another way. In other words, He had to sacrifice Himself. God gave Him to be sacrificed, but Jesus on His part had to agree and walk in the will of the Father. So as we said, we have a choice. We can walk in it or not walk in it. And Jesus gave us the example. Here's the will of the Father. This is what love would do. Will this always be easy? Well, the whole idea behind sacrifice means it's probably going to be a little difficult. Now, I will say for most of us, it will not be to the point of having to put ourselves on a cross to die. But what you will find is to walk in selflessness, or in other words, not be selfish, that there will be some sacrifice included. Okay? Let me get down to where I have my notes. And when God started dealing with me about this specific area, it's funny, as I've gone through this, I think I shared with you, God started dealing with me on this literally on the 1st of January. I journal each day after spending some time with God, and I'll just write down what God showed to me on a given day. And when I started looking at this over a period of time, it was just all God is sharing me about his love this year. And now, since then, there's been some other things that he's thrown in along with it. But when he was showing me about this very fact, he didn't take me immediately to the cross. The first thing he took me to was 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. We actually showed me something and then said, oh, that's where this comes from. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And in verses 5 and 6, the Bible actually is giving us what I like to call, and I don't know that I've ever heard anyone else use it, but it's how I use it in my life and how God has showed me to use it. It's the things that you are not supposed to do if you want to be walking in love. But in each one of them, you can look at them, well, if I'm not to be doing this, that means then I should be doing this. In other words, you can see the opposite of it. But it is there that it says things such as this phrase, love does not seek its own. What does that mean? It means don't be selfish. It's a pretty simple way of saying that. Don't be selfish. And in fact, you don't see it in this verse, but if you read the rest of God's word, and this is where he led me, and I'm not going to go into full detail here. I'm going to show you an example of where he took me to. But you can see that it is not just enough not to be selfless or not to be selfish, but it actually means that we are to do something. In other words, see if I can put it this way. To not be selfish means, okay, you're not doing something for gain for yourself. But that's not enough, not according to the Bible. See, I can do something that's not for me and do nothing for any of you too. Would that be love? No. Okay, in other words, it's nothing in either way. So we are to be selfless, not being selfish, but yet that's not enough. We have to be doing something for others. Our eyes, if we're walking in love, have to be, what can I do for those who I love? That's what love does. So it's not just enough to be selfless and not selfish. And once again, the cross shows us this. God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He did something. Okay? And that's the example of his loving kindness that can be seen at the cross. He gave us his very best. So we too are to be as he is in this world. So if he, out of his selflessness, and he gave, then what should we do? In fact, John 15:13 tells us this very thing. It says, greater love has no one than this. Greater love. I mean, you can't do better than this one. So, you know, this is really what it's saying. If you want to know the greatest level of love, then read this verse. It says, then to lay one's life down for his friends. Now, that can look a little different. Like I said, in most of our cases, that doesn't mean we're going to put ourselves on a cross, you know, and die. But we have to be willing to lay our lives down in any given area that God would have us lay our lives down as we're loving our friends. And that is going to be different in different situations. It's going to look different. But it will involve a laying down of yourself, being selfless, and doing something for someone else, which is, once again, often going to lead to some sacrificial type of behavior. And that's been my prayer since he showed me this is, and when you ask him, here's what I've always found. If you don't know what you're supposed to do in any given situation, just ask him. That's all he's waiting for. You know, seriously, like, I really don't know how to walk this out. What should this look like? We'll go, God, how should I walk this out? I mean, I've found that if I ask, and then the key is take time to listen, because sometimes I'll ask and then I'll go about my busy day and I don't hear anything and wonder why. I mean, go figure. If you don't take time to listen, how are you going to hear? God keeps bringing me back to an Old Testament verse, and it's part of what I call my quiet time with God. And I don't know how each of you call your time, but it's kind of the way I put it. It's just my time alone with him. But it's a verse found in the book of Habakkuk, and it's Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, I will stand my watch, and I will set myself on a rampart, and I will watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Now, what's interesting is that last part. You hear what he, when you listen, what's he going to do? He's going to correct you. And it's just it. It's because he loves you. So I have to purpose in my heart to, during that time that I'm alone, going, okay, God, what do I need that I'm missing? Because if I've got it wrong, I want to change it. So I look at it as a good thing. But if I don't take that time to do, see, that standing my watch and setting myself apart on that rampart, notice there's something I have to do. In other words, it isn't just by continuing my busy day doing what I always do the whole rest of the day. It's when I set myself apart and actually purpose to listen to what he's going to say to me, that I'm going to hear what he says to me when he corrects me. So it's something I'm constantly doing in this area of love, going, okay, God, what do you have for me? What does this look like? And what I have found is when I'm willing to do this, he shares with me all the time. And I think I've shared with you before that oftentimes, and I didn't realize, I never really noticed it in the Bible before, that oftentimes when God, through his Spirit, communicates with man where man can tell what he's saying to him, and it's even recorded in the Bible, he'll often ask man a question. Happens all the time. I started reading through the Old Testament, but it was for actually many years after God started doing this to me, because it seemed like I can probably name a half a dozen times where I could go, this is what God was sharing with me and how he did it. Did I hear an audible voice? No. But I could tell you, here's what he said. And it was always in questions. And it was usually involved no more than two questions. But what I found interesting was he only asked me questions that I already knew the answers. I already knew the answers, but I just wasn't seeing it, and I wasn't living my life based on those answers. I knew what they were. And yet when he would ask the questions, I'd go, oh, yeah, I guess I should be living that way, right? Yeah, I mean, it was that simple. And this is one of those cases. Just this year, he went through this again with me. And in fact, I can give you the exact date it happened, February the 20th in my life. I looked back at my journal, and I wrote down. And he asked me two questions. Okay. I'm going to go down to where I have this in my notes. And the first question he asked me was simply, okay, in your own life, how is it you see and know love from other people? Well, that's pretty easy. That's going to be specific to each one of us. But I knew my own answer immediately. It wasn't like I had to think about it. It was like, well, it's this. And my answer for me is, how do I know that someone's loving me that stands out? Even more so than anything, because it was the very first thing. I mean, as soon as I got that this was the question, I go, well, that's simple. It's this. And for me, it was my Aunt Phyllis and my very good dear friends, Charlie and Eileen Castelluccio from Titusville, PA, where I was originally born and grew up. And they pray for me every single day of their lives. Every single day. And I'm going, that's loving me. I mean, nothing. When I think of love, that's what I think of. Someone is willing to take time out of every single day of their lives to pray for me. And this isn't even, they're not my family. They are my brothers and sisters in Christ, so they're my family that way. But I mean, it's not like they're blood relatives or anything. They could be praying for their own family that they're related to here on earth. But they have chosen out of love to pray for me every single day. I'm going, that's love. That's how I know someone's loving me. Okay? Now, there are other ways, but that's just the one that stands out to me. Question number two. God typically always asks me two questions because that gets me thinking about me. Then he kind of redirects it at me. And he goes, who are you loving like that? Seriously, that was the question. Who are you loving like that? Now, what was interesting is oftentimes when he'll ask me the second question, where he directs it personally back to me, in any time that he's done this with me, this roughly half a dozen times, my first reaction is, oh me, or oh no, or oh my, or whatever. Now, that simply means if you haven't been walking the way you should, that you just ask him for forgiveness, you repent and say, let's get this right going forward. So, but my immediate response has always been, oh my, that's not been really good the way I've been doing this. But I can tell you this time, my reaction was completely different. And when he said to me the question, and who are you doing this for? And I said, in my own mind, I knew, he says, well, from this moment on, I'm praying for these four people every day of my life. That was my immediate response. He gave, it was like, I didn't even have to think about it. It was just me committing to him. Because I don't need to commit to people. I need to commit to him. And I love them, and that's part of me doing this. It's the reason behind it. I love God and I love them. But my commitment is, I'm going to pray for these four people, and there may be more going forward. But instantly when he asked that question, it wasn't like, oh me. It was, well, starting today, I'm praying for these four people every day. Because that to me is love. And it's how I see it. And he was saying, well, who are you doing that for? And then what was so, I don't know, funny, different, I had shared with Pastor Bill this very fact that about 2 months later, he shared a teaching that I had never heard before. And he shared with us on being priests and kings. I don't know if any of you remember this teaching, focusing primarily upon us being priests. If any of you want to, you could go back and listen to that again. I really loved it because I'd never heard it before. You could go back to, I'm trying to think of the chapter that he gave. He probably knows right off the top of his head where it was. I was going to say go back and read that whole passage. Exodus chapter 28, it actually was, where how the priests in the Old Testament, I mean, the first thing you did was there was the sacrifice. And he was sharing what the priests did as they entered into the inner portion. But before they went there, there was, now we have the sacrifice of praise for what God's already done. Okay, it was different for them in the Old Testament. Now it's a sacrifice of praise. Then there was the washing, okay? But the third thing was, and this is what stood out to me in this teaching that Pastor Bill did. The third thing was, is them putting on that which they wore when they went in, okay? Now, what was interesting was the fact that there was two precious stones that were big enough on each shoulder, that the six names of the tribes of Israel were written, six on one and six on the other, on their shoulders. But then on the breastplate, there was 12 individual special stones. And on each one of them was one of the tribes. And the priests were to go in, once they now had this garment on, ultimately they went in to the inner part, and it talks about how the sweet incense of, and what it's referring to there is their prayers going up to God. And what they were doing was they were praying for these 12 tribes, the precious stones. And as Pastor Bill is sharing this, I'm sitting here going, huh, God already showed me how to do this, but he did it out of love rather than taking me through this. Because what he had shown me was, I wouldn't have labeled it that way, is these four names I have, they're the precious stones that are on my breastplate that I take in to God's presence every day, and I offer up prayers and supplications for them. So in other words, God showed me that through walking in love, that I was fulfilling the priestly ministry that I was to be walking in. He just did it a completely different way than Pastor Bill showed me. So as he's sharing it, I'm just going, oh, this is really cool. I'm doing this part, and I didn't even know I was doing it. Didn't even know I was supposed to do it that way. But it was all out of love. And that's why oftentimes, as I've been sharing in this series, I've been saying that you can literally look at just about any aspect of the word, and you'll find out love is greatly involved in it. That's why I could literally teach you every Sunday morning till either I die or Christ returns, I could teach on love. Because literally, you just go through the Bible and love is everywhere. It's the greatest love story ever written from beginning to end. And so to me, it was just, I'm just sitting there. I often wonder if he's looking at me sometimes, because I'm almost cracking up. I've got this big smile on. I'm going, God's just amazing me, blowing me away when he's sharing this, because I'd never heard that teaching like that from anyone before. And then I'm going, well, I've heard it from God, but just in a different way. In other words, he showed it to me through love. And now he was just confirming, well, that's part of what your priestly ministry does. Okay? It's got to be done in love. Because, let's put it this way, if you're going in and praying for people and you're not loving them, is it really doing any good? Remember the verse that I talked about, faith which worketh by love? If you just stop and think about that. So how is it that your faith works? By love. And that word, and I shared this with you earlier, which worketh means to activate and make effective. So if you want your faith to be activated, in other words, you're actually going to start applying it, using it, and to make it effective, meaning it really does what you're wanting it to do, then it has to all start with love. So if you're not loving people, just going through the motions of praying for them, how are you activating your faith, and how are you making it effective? So it's all involved. It's all tied together. So now the one last part that I wanted to share with you about, and I almost had trouble putting this into words, thinking, I shared earlier that you'll find that this type of love, this selfless love, this not being selfish, is hard to put into words. The checkpoint is, one of the things for me now that God has me do, before any action that I'm going to do, I'm going, is there anything in this that I'm doing it for me? Because if I'm doing it in any way for me, then am I doing it selflessly? No, I'm doing it selfishly. If I'm thinking about, this is for me. Now, sometimes God will work it so that what you're supposed to do is good for you and good for others. So I'm saying they're not mutually exclusive, but what I mean by looking at that, go, am I really doing this for my gain, for my benefit? If I come to that conclusion, this is where I say sometimes you have to stop and think. Am I doing this, say for example, am I loving someone because I want them to love me back? Remember that little triangle on the board that I gave you? I said there's one area that we don't affect at all. Well, there's some. God is going to love us, not our effect. He does that automatically. God's going to love other people. We have nothing to do with that. Our part is to love God, to love others. But there was an arrow coming back this way from others to us. If we're doing this so that they'll love us, we got it wrong. That's selfish. So I actually have to stop and go, am I doing this because I want them to love me or act in any way towards me? If that's any part of my motivation, then I need to put the brakes on, spend some time with God. Well, then what does this look like if I'm doing it not selfishly? Okay? Because I know I'm supposed to love them. So for me, that's just a checkpoint. That's what I like to call them. All those love does not do this, does not do this, does not do this. I don't use them as condemnation points, because some people can do that. Oh, I don't do that, and I don't do that, and then they start getting condemned. I just do good. If I see these things, I go, stop, time to get with God, because this isn't right. It's just a checkpoint. So now on to this sacrificial part, and this is kind of where we'll wind up today. This is the part I actually had to talk to God about, and I go, okay, the only thing that I can see that is sacrificial about me praying for these four people every day is the fact that it takes me some time. And I just don't go in, how would I put this? It's not about how much time you spend or saying I spend this long or this long. All I can tell you is I don't just throw up a one-minute prayer and say, okay, I've covered my obligation today, God. I committed to do this every day. Now, In fact, I won't tell you how long of a walk I take, but I enjoy walking early in the morning before it gets 95. And nowadays, you got to get up at 5:30 to be out there at 6 to walk so that you're still not soaked in sweat because it's already 77 degrees. So it forces me up. I like sleeping in. That's just me. But it's forcing me up earlier in the day if I want to get my walk in. But I use that walking time to pray for these four. And how would I put it? I almost enjoy it so much that I don't see it as a sacrifice. So it's almost like, well, am I really sacrificing here? Because I look at it and go, okay, I'm out here walking. I enjoy that. And I know that's good for my physical body. So it's somewhat for me because it's keeping me in physical shape. And I'm spending time in the presence of my Father, and I'm enjoying it. So am I really sacrificing? Yeah, almost, but I have a hard time seeing it, is what I'm saying. It's because I love Him so much, and I love them so much, that I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing so much, that I have a hard time seeing as a sacrifice, I guess is all I would say. But is it taking some time out of my day? Yeah, but I enjoy it too much. I thought back to Jesus at the cross. Was He sacrificing a lot? And He said, but He went to it for the joy that was set before Him. Because He could see the results and benefits that was going to come of His death. And see, that's what I think about as I'm out there praying during this walk. I'm going, I know, and I actually wind up praying this. I go, God, I know You're hearing me. I talk to Him like He's there. And because I know You hear me, and I'm praying according to Your word, I know that You're going to do what I'm praying to You about, because Your word tells me that, as long as I'm praying Your will over their lives. And so as I'm doing this, I'm going, it just doesn't get any better than this. So you may have some better examples of sacrificing in your life, because the one I came up with, I had a hard time convincing myself that I was really sacrificing too much in this. But look at the cross. Some of you may have some more really evident areas of sacrifice, sacrificial love for other people. And the Word of God is saying that that's part of it, that will be involved. And it's another one of those things. I don't think you have to ask God to give you those. He's going to give you people in your lives. We're to love everyone. But will you pray for every single person every day that you meet? No, you would run out of time very shortly. That's what I'm saying. You can pray in general for the world, but I mean to spend considerable time over, you know, a specific person here and there. But what I would encourage you to do is, if you haven't done this yet in particular, I'm not saying God's going to deal with you the same way He will me, but to do what I've told you I do each day. And that's Habakkuk 1:3 that we quoted. And that's get and spend some time alone with God and just ask Him, okay, God, what would this selfless, unselfish, sacrificing love look like, and how do I walk this out in my life? Show it to me, because this is part of His love. And as I said before, it's not love unless it's all-inclusive. So if there's none of this in your life, God's saying there should be. It's plain as day in here. Does not seek its own. It is selfless. So you're going to have selfless acts of love. Ask him to show you, okay, where am I doing this? Or if I'm not doing it, what does it look like? Show me how I would walk this out. Give me opportunities to walk it out. Let me see it clearly when it comes up. Because I can tell you, it's pretty easy to miss when you haven't been walking in it. You almost can walk up to it and walk through it and go, oh, that, I could have done it then. And I've done that before. In other words, he'll show me something. And once I've gone through what he gave me to be able to walk in that, I go, oh, missed it that time. So ask him to show it and make it clear to you that here it is, right here. Here's your opportunity to walk in selfless love, to do something for others just based out of the fact that you love them, based on nothing in return. So that was pretty much it for today. I know for a fact that God has given me two more specific teachings. Whether I get through them each in 2 weeks or whether it takes me three, that I do not yet know. And I've shared with a few people. I'm so excited to share them that I have a hard time, like, not sharing today what I have for the next week and the week after, because I'm already excited about them. I'm typically excited about all of them, but there's one, another one in particular that I can't wait to share. And I've had it prepared for like 2 months. So far, I've been able to hold off. So I know what's coming already, and it excites me. Hopefully, how would I put this? As I do this, I started thinking, oh, this is 9 weeks. Wonder if the people are tired of hearing about love. And all I can say is, I'm not. I really hope that you are not as well. I'm actually as excited about it today as I was when God had me start it, about 3 months ago. Mainly because I see the life that's in it for me. His word, he actually says it. Jesus says from his word is life and spirit. And the word that he gives us about love, it really is essential to our lives. If we're going to walk out our lives the way he would have us to, we really have to get, how would I put it, this love thing down. It's that simple. And so I'm excited day by day for him to show me more and more of who he is, because it's he who is love. So when he's revealing love to us as we should walk it out, he's really revealing who he is more and more to us. And so just, I encourage you, go to God and say, God, I just want to know you even more in this area of love. And I'm going to sit here and listen until you show me. Sometimes you have, I think God looks to you to go, how committed to you are that? Are you going to stay here and wait for me? And I think sometimes he'll test you just to see. He's done that with me before. I'll sit there and go, well, I'm not getting anything. I guess it's just time to leave and go do something else, right? I think sometimes he's just looking, how committed to you are really finding out if you're saying, yeah, I want to hear from God. Well, how long are you willing to sit there? Oftentimes, that's part of one of the tests that he'll give you. Are you willing to sit there if you're really wanting something and know God has something for you? Are you willing to sit there till, oh, I've got it? In fact, I'll close on this note. And I can tell you this hasn't happened a lot with me. So in this way, this is no boast at all. It should happen a lot more than it does. One time I was spending alone time with God. And I can tell you, in this case, once again, time's sort of irrelevant, but I knew I'd been with God for an hour or two, okay? And it lost total track of time. I don't sit there with a timer is what I'm saying. Like, oh, hour's up. I'm done. I'm ready to go. But this one time in particular, it had been an hour or two, and I'm there, and I go, I really don't want to leave. I could just stay here. And it's one of the few times, the only time I can remember getting this sense. Good. That means it's time for you to go, because you're right where you're supposed to be. I'm like, oh. In other words, he doesn't drive you out of his presence. But when you stayed there till you never want to leave, he's saying, now you're going to be effective in the world. When you reach that point, you're ready. You're ready. And I'm like, oh, that's good. I probably should stay here till I get that more often. But it just stuck out to me so much, was like, yeah, now it's time for you to go. When I'm not ready to go, because I just want to be with him some more. So let me close with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your word to us today. We know that it's a life-changing word, that you desire your best for us. We ask you to continue to reveal yourself to us, specifically in this area of love, that we may increase and abound as you would have us to. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do, and we praise you, and we love you, and we ask it all in according to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.